Hey, I'm so excited for this morning. How many people are already filled up? You feel like Jesus has just refreshed you? You're filled up? Wow. Let's just take a moment while Jared is still up here just close your eyes. I want you just to close your eyes all over this room. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we honor you. We honor your presence in this place. And Lord, it's our great delight to be in your presence. Lord, more than anything, more than a word, more than what I have to say, Lord, we want to know what you're saying. We want to know what you have to say to us this morning. And so I just pray, Jesus, that you would till the soil of our heart, that we would receive your word, and that we would be not just hearers, but doers of the word, and we would become like you, Lord Jesus. This whole thing is about becoming more like you. It's about becoming more like you. It's about following you. It's not just about coming to church. It's about being the church. It's about looking like you, Jesus. And so I pray today, Lord, that we would look more like you by the end of today, by this little time that we have. With this little time that we have, Lord, I pray that we would look more like Jesus. We love you. We love you. Just tell them that you love them this morning. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Can we give it up for Jared? Love you, Jared. Thank you, man. And the worship team. Wasn't that amazing? Give it up for the worship team this morning. So, so powerful. How many people are thankful for the joy of the Lord? Come on, I'm going to say it again. How many people are thankful for the joy of the Lord? That is not something that we plan. That's not something that we just go, you know what, we're feeling like we're going to laugh today during the announcements. That's a good idea. Why don't you laugh up there? Like, that's not something that we do to be extra charismatic. I'm not interested in being charismatic. I'm interested in knowing Jesus. And so that's not something that we do because we're Pentecostals. That's not something that we do because we're charismatic. That's just what happens when you make space for Jesus to come. And more than a manifestation, more than hooting and hollering and experiencing laughter, we want the person of Jesus. And when Jesus comes, he has his way. Amen? And that's what we are all about here. We want to make space for his presence. We want Jesus to have his way in our midst, because when Jesus comes and has his way, all the things that we're struggling with in life, they begin to lift off. Amen? Everything changes when he comes. Everything changes when he comes. I think it's crazy that you can come into church and never experience Jesus. I think it's really scary that you can come into a church and never actually encounter Jesus, because we are so preoccupied with our own agenda and man-made religious duty. We get so focused. This is not what I'm preaching on today, but I need to say it so that I can kind of address what just happened. Amen? Give a little context for you. We can get so preoccupied with what we think church ought to look like, and church oftentimes is really fast. And we love that because we love fast food, and we love, maybe you don't. I actually don't love fast food. I used to eat Taco Bell like every day. I don't know how I'm still alive, but I had so much Baja Blast and Crunchwrap Supremes. My God, Lord, I don't know how I'm still alive, but I am. And but we want fast food Christianity. We want Instant Pot Christianity. We want microwave Christianity, where everything is just to the T, to our liking. And if it just looks this way, if it's quick enough so I can get on with my day, I don't know about you, but I want to sit at the feet of Jesus as long as I can, because the longer I'm with him, the more I get free and the more I become like him. And so I've said this before, but even with worship and what we do up here, this is not Christian karaoke. Do you hear me? This is not Christian karaoke. We're actually, and I know you guys know this because you're Valley Church, but it bears repeating. We do this to minister to his heart. And when we actually sing to Jesus, and we don't just look at words up on the screen like, oh, that's a good lyric right there. I like that. I like that beat, you know? It's like, well, like, first of all, like, we don't write or sing any songs for you. By the way, your name is not in the song. So none of it's actually for you. And oftentimes, a lot of our worship, we sing about ourselves so much in worship. And a lot of times, it's like self-worship in a lot of our songs. Have you heard that in a lot of newer Christian songs? A lot of our newer Christian songs, it's about what God can do for you rather than who he is. Do you understand how crazy that is? That we're singing all the time about what God can do for us. And we sang a little bit about that this morning. And that's important at times. I'm not bashing that. You know, the presence of God was all in that song about the wind blowing on dry bones. Why? Because that's scripture. That's in Ezekiel. Okay, that's scripture. We were actually just singing scripture and we're asking God, that was more of a prayer. We're asking God to bring revival. We're asking his wind to come and sweep through so that we could come alive again. That's a good song to sing. But a lot of these songs that we sing that are just all about you providing for me and me getting a blessing from you and all this stuff, we've made it so much more about what we can get from God rather than who he is. And if we would actually just begin to focus on who Jesus is, you would actually get everything you need because he's the source. Christianity is not about living a blessed life. It's not about you being more blessed. It's about you fellowshipping with Jesus. Because he is the blessing. I've maybe shared this before, but my brother Jacob, this was like a couple months ago, and he's praying. This literally has nothing to do with my message, but I'm just kind of following where I feel like the Holy Spirit's taking us. My brother Jacob was in prayer, and he was praying a really good Christian prayer. He was reading Genesis 28, where Jacob in the Bible, who was called Israel, Jacob is wrestling with God. And you guys know the story? He's wrestling with God, and Jacob says this, I won't let you go until you bless me. Really good prayer. Like, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And he hears the Lord so clearly, my brother, he hears the Lord say, well, why would you let me go when I'm the blessing? Why would you let me go when I'm the blessing? What do you mean you won't let me go until you bless me? Like, what? Like, he is the blessing. Like, Jesus is. Have you ever just been in his presence before and you're like, I don't ever want to leave this place? I don't know about you, but this week the Lord's just been wrecking me. I've been listening to this new album from Upper Room and I'm just getting so blasted. And I'm just like, blasted in a good way. Some of you guys are like, what does that mean? It's like, I'm like crying on my couch, just listening and worshiping Jesus because all I really want is his presence. I want to see his face because if I see him rightly, if I see him for who he truly is, it changes me. Instead of spending all this time in prayer and trying to figure things out, if I would just lift up my eyes and see him for who he truly is, everything in my existence would begin to shift and be changed if I actually had a revelation of the man Jesus. We're going to get there today. So right now you guys okay today? We're teaching our son Cruz how to ride his bike. And he's 4 years old. Thank you, Katie Brodeen, for talking, right? Yeah, in the nursery. She's like, he can ride his bike at four or something like that. So we took off the training wheels. Actually, Alexis did when I was away on a trip. I was just in Huntington Beach preaching at a mental health youth rally. It was amazing. 17 kids gave their life to Jesus. So many kids got set free. from depression, anxiety, and suicidal ideation. It was just beautiful. So cool to see what Jesus did. But while I was gone, Alexis took off the training wheels, and she sent me this video of Cruz riding his bike on his own. And I was shocked. I was like, I didn't know four-year-olds could do that, you know? And I'm it's my firstborn, and so we're learning things as we're going, and he's riding his bike. And yesterday I was out doing it with him, and Cruz, when he's riding his bike, he's looking down. Do you guys kind of know, maybe you've taught a kid how to ride a bike, and he's like on his bike, and he's looking down, but when he's looking down, his bike's like wobbling all over the place, and he's kind of like, ooh, putting his foot out. You guys get the picture, right? He's just looking down, and I just would tell him, Cruz, in order to get where you need to go, you need to lift up your head. You need to look up, lift up your eyes and keep pedaling. Lift up your eyes and keep pedaling, because no one is going to get where they need to go by looking down. Let me tell you what, I would never, Ryan Brodeen picked me up. How many of you guys love Ryan? Ryan picked me up from the airport at 12 o'clock the other night, right? Guys, I had to take three, this has nothing to do with my message, but I just need you guys to counsel. I need some counsel, I need a sozo, okay? I flew from Long Beach. I had a connection in Las Vegas. I got stuck in Las Vegas because I missed my flight to Boise. I had to go from Long Beach, California to Las Vegas to Oakland to Boise. What? The devil's a liar, you guys. That was a demonic attack. No, I was supposed to get home at 6:15. I get home at midnight. Ryan picks me up. And I don't even remember why I brought you up now, dude, after telling, I really need, driving. Thank you, honey. So if Ryan picks me up and he looks at his phone the whole drive, how many know we're not going to make it home? Him and I are dead, okay? We are going to crash. We're going to fall into a ditch. If he's looking down at his phone and he's not, I don't trust anyone looking down driving. Okay, some of you guys needed to hear that. That was a message for you. You're like, I look at my phone all the time when I drive. Well, stop it, okay? We love you. So, but I don't trust you if you're not looking at the road, because we're not going to get to where we need to go. And I think a lot of us in our Christianity and just in life, we're so used to looking down. We're so used to having narrow focus, this shallow focus, where we're just looking at what's going on around us. We're so focused on our internal world not feeling right. We're so focused on the sins of yesterday. We're so focused on our mistakes. You will never get to where you need to go by setting your gaze on yesterday. Great example is Lot's wife. Do you remember this story? They're leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels say, do not look back at where you came from, or you will be turned into a pillar of salt. And Lot's wife is like, girl, are you deaf? Like, they just told you, an angel just told you, do not look back. And she goes, well, maybe just one look. Maybe just one look. Instead of going to where God has promised you, she looks in the rearview mirror of life, and she becomes a pillar of salt. In a sense, she becomes a memorial stone. She's a prototype of a life with God that's not fruitful. For us to get to where God wants to take us, we can't stay where we've been. We need to lift up our eyes. We can't look back, and we need to go where he's taking us. Are you with me today? And so I want to just read a couple verses this morning, and then we'll eat some good food, amen, for Social Sunday. But I want to read Psalm 121, 1 through 8 in the ESV. Some of you call it Psalm. And it is not that, it is Psalm. Okay? It has a P in the beginning of it. Or someone's like, is it Palms? Palms 121? No, Psalm. This is what it says. Psalm 121, 1 through 8. I lift up my eyes. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help, say my help, comes from the Lord. It says, who made heaven and earth, he will not let your foot be moved. He will keep, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. Come on, someone say amen. This is just good news. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out, your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. But how will you know that if you don't look up and see him? That's why Psalm 121 says, look up. Come on, say, look up. He's saying, lift up your eyes. You will not know that he wants to do all of this for you if you don't look up and see him. Because we're so focused on all of the tragedy of today. You don't know where your help's coming from because you're so focused on what's being talked about on Fox News right now. You don't know where your help's coming from because you're so focused on your lack and your insufficiency and insecurity, and you're so focused on me, myself, and I, and Jesus is saying, get your eyes off of you, get your eyes off of the things of the world, look up. Where does your help come from? When you just look up and lift your eyes, you can see my help comes from the Lord. Come on, does your help come from the Lord this morning? Lift up your eyes. I'm going to read some more verses. I've got a lot of scripture because the word preaches for itself. Come on. Who needs my opinion when we can just have the word of God? Psalm 3 again. This is Psalm 3 in the ESV. It says, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I'm going to read that again. You, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. Come on, how many are thankful that when you feel, you don't feel strong enough to lift your own head, Jesus lifts it for you? I feel like the Lord sometimes, he's just saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. And then I have this picture of him grabbing our chin and going like, look at me. Like, come on, quit looking down. Stop navel gazing. Stop looking at your circumstance. Lift up your eyes and see me. Amen? All right. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this. This is Jesus talking now. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Stop right there. How can you come to him if you don't see him? You can't get to him if you're not looking in his direction. Okay? So Jesus is saying, come to me, but you can't come to the man if you're not looking in his direction. That same word, come there, it's the word that Jesus used when he called his disciples. He's calling all of us to come to him. And Jesus is saying, when you come, he's not gonna put something heavy on you, he's gonna put something light on you. Listen to this. I know I'm preaching this morning because I know there's some people in this room who feel heavy, and God wants to lift your load this morning. He wants to lift your load by lifting your eyes to his face. And he says this, all who labor and are heavy laden, I, listen to this, will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Augustine of Hippo was one of the greatest theologians to ever live. And he's an African theologian, early days. And this is what Augustine of Hippo says. He says, our souls are restless until they find our home in the Lord. My soul, he would pray, he said, my soul is restless. Anyone ever have a restless soul, an anxious heart? My soul is not at rest. It only finds its rest in your presence. It's you. Let me say this. You will never, ever, if you're looking for rest for your weary soul, you will find it in nowhere else but the person of Jesus Christ. I promise you, you will not find it anywhere else. You might find momentary pleasure, but everything, Jeremiah 11:2 says this, is like a cracked cistern, and when you pour water into it, it drips out. But the Lord wants to restore the cracked cistern in your heart so that when he pours his presence in, your soul finds rest, amen? He wants to give you rest for your souls. Okay, some more scripture. You guys okay? Psalm 24:9 in the ESV says this, lift up your heads. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Last time I checked, gates do not have heads. Isn't that interesting? Last time I checked, I didn't know that a gate could be a person and has the ability to lift up their head. So what is the writer of Psalm 24 saying here? He's saying that you and I are gates. He is saying you and I have a door or a gate in our heart. And he is saying, if you would lift up your heads, you would see the King of glory so that he could come in. Inside of your heart, inside of your heart is a door. How do I know that? Revelation, I forget the part here, but it's in the book of Revelation. Jesus says, behold, it's Revelation 4. I stand at the door of your heart and knock, waiting for you to open so I can come in. Jesus is looking for us to stop looking at the things of this world so we can see him, so he can fully come into our heart. Who wants the King of glory to live deep inside of you? He's saying, lift up your heads. I love how Eugene Peterson puts it in the Message translation. He says, awake, you sleepy gates. Wake up, you sleepy gates, you tired gates that are sleeping. Wake up and let the Lord come in. Says, who is this Lord? Who is this God? It says, he is the Lord, strong and mighty, mighty in battle. You want to know why you're so tired? Is you're fighting battles that you were never created to fight. Because you have never let the Lord come into areas of your heart. You've kept them from him. And you've been fighting battles in your life that you were not created to fight. And Jesus is just saying to you this morning, would you give up and let me be God? Would you give up and let me fight your battles for you? And I think a lot of us, we do our due diligence as Christians, and we go, no, I want to fight this. Really what you're doing is you're shadow boxing the devil. God already defeated him. Let Jesus win the battle for you. I'm serious. You know what's crazy? The devil is so defeated. He is such a defeated foe, the Bible says. It actually says in Colossians 2:14 that Jesus made a public spectacle of the enemy, triumphing over him through the cross. And you know what's so crazy is Jesus, it says in Revelation chapter 1, that he stormed the gates of hell, and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil. And we're still so worried about his power over our lives. Listen to me. The devil doesn't even have the keys to his own home. Jesus took the keys from his own home. And we're like, the devil's everywhere. The dude doesn't even have his own keys anymore. And we're living in a reality. Why? Because I think most of the time the devil is trying to play games with our minds to make us not see what Jesus has already accomplished for us. He's trying to keep our mind and our eyes here, but your source does not come from you. Your healing, all that you need in life, it doesn't come from you. It comes from whom you lift your eyes to. Amen? How many are thankful the devil doesn't have the keys to his own home, okay? I just think that's amazing. All right, another scripture. You guys okay? I got two more for you. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. And this is the Message translation. This is what it says. Do you see what this means? So context before I get into this. Hebrews chapter 11. How many guys are familiar with Hebrews 11? They call it the Hall of Faith. It's about all of these saints, these patriarchs, these matriarchs that have gone before us and who have run their race well. Amen. And this is what Hebrews 12 says right here. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it, strip down, start running, and never quit. Keep pedaling, Cruz. Keep pedaling. It says this, no extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Your translation probably says, throw off the sin that so easily entangles you. Right? Why? Or how? How do you do this? Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Come on, he's the author and the finisher of your race. Study how Jesus did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. And when you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Jesus is our example. Church, he's not just our Savior, he's not just our Lord, he's our example. And we are called to fix our eyes on him to see how he ran this race. I love that a lot of our translations in Hebrews 12 says, for the joy, you guys know this scripture, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus had joy entering into suffering. How? Because he knew the end of the story. He knew that he was going to get you in the end. He knew that he was going to save millions, billions of souls in the end through enduring suffering, and the promise of glory is on the other side. Let me tell you what, if what you're going through right now is not good, God is not done. If what you're experiencing right now in your life does not feel good, God is not done with your story. There is glory on the other side of suffering. Suffering is actually not a bad thing, by the way. Suffering actually produces perseverance, character, and hope. And we get to be, Romans says, partakers of his glory when we suffer with Christ. Amen. All right, one more verse. You guys okay? Colossians 3, 1 through 3. In the Message again. I'm on a Message kick lately, so I love Eugene Peterson. This is how he translates Colossians 3. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up. Come on, say, look up. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. Your new life is with Christ in God, which most translations say this: you are seated with him in heavenly places. You're right now, somehow in this mystery of Jesus, you are in heaven and on earth at the same time. You are living this ascended reality where you are in two places at the same time. You're in a heavenly reality. You're in an earthly reality. You are spirit and you are flesh. God lives in you and you are in God. You're like a heavenly, it's like a heaven Twinkie, okay? It's kind of weird, but just is. It's like you are stuffed, you're sandwiched in with Jesus. All of you is in all of him. All of him is in all of you. But what if I don't feel it, Jonah? What if you actually believed it? What if you stopped relying on feelings and you started to lift up your eyes and believed his word with faith? You guys okay? Let me finish this verse. It says this, is with Christ in God. Jesus is your life. Jesus is your life. And when Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Come on. This gospel is way better than you can even imagine. This reality that we're in is so much better than you can fathom. The fact right now that you're seated in this church, but you're also seated in Christ and in heavenly places is crazy to me. And we don't even think about this at all. Why? Because our mind and our eyes, like Colossians 3 says, is so fixed on this reality, we're not aware of heavenly ones. And so many people, have you guys heard this? This is probably one of the dumbest things I've heard. Okay, I'm just going to say it. Because when people say, you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Have you heard that before? You're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. You're so earthly minded that you're no earthly good. You can't change something that you're like. How do you transform a world that you are like? I see Christians do this all the time. Are you guys okay this morning? Am I speaking too hard? I see Christians all the time. It's like, well, if I just fit in with the world a little bit and I kind of focus on things like here, maybe I can influence unbelievers. If I just watch this show that all my unsaved friends are watching, maybe I can relate with them. No, no, no. You need them to start relating with you. You need to shift. We need to shift our mindset. Stop being so worldly. When you are heavenly minded, you are earthly good. When you are focused on things above, not on things below, you are actually worth something in this world. You actually can see things shift. I'm going to read this again. I love how Eugene says it. Look up, be alert on what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. There was this evangelist in the early 1900s named Smith Wigglesworth. Anybody ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? And Smith, it was like one of the first books I ever read. I was 14. And Smith, he wrote this book called Ever Increasing Faith. And we have like an old one from the 40s in our house. It's so cool. It has like his picture in it. It says Evangelist Smith Wigglesworth on the front. And in that book, Smith Wigglesworth said, he says this line. He says, I don't pray from this dimension. I pray from that one. I am not praying from earth to heaven. I am praying from heaven to earth. I remember reading that as a teenager, and I'm like, what does that even mean? How do you do that? He does that because he knows his standing in Christ. He knows where he is seated with Christ in heavenly places. And I'm telling you this morning, Valley Church, that if we become a people who look up, the things that are weighing you down will fall off. Us spending time looking at all of our issues, all of our sins, that's not how you get free. You get free by looking at the one who is pure. You want to live a pure life? You want to live a holy life? You want to live a life that's set apart? So do I. We're all going towards that place where we want to become more like Jesus. But you can't look like someone that you don't look at. You can't look like him if you don't look at him. If you don't look to him. If you don't spend time with him. See things from his perspective. If all that we do in our faith, if all of our faith is just what we do here on Sunday, we're missing it so big, you guys. If all we do is come here and it's like, well, my faith injection is when I come to church on Sunday and Wednesday nights, you will be very disappointed. In Christianity, this thing of faith will be so hard because you were created to spend time with your Creator every day. You were created to look up at him, the one that loves you. Where is Ryan at? Is Drew here? Drew Brodeen? No. Let my wife, come on up here, Alexis. Give it up for my wife. I know. She says, your third choice? My first choice. How many guys have ever, I've done this before at VSSM, but how many guys have ever heard of the verse, you are the apple of his eye? Have you guys ever heard that verse? I never knew what that meant until recently, but I want to show you kind of what that means. Isn't my wife so beautiful, by the way? Just love you. So when Alexis and I are looking at each other here, can you see what do you see in my eyes? Can you see much? Can you see the color of my eyes? You already know, though. I have brown eyes. You can see it. Okay. So I want you to come up to me until you can see yourself in my eyes. Okay.
There I am.
So you can see yourself. I can see myself in your eyes. Love you. Love you. So we're standing here. I have to get this close. We have to be this close to actually see each other in each other. That's what the apple of his eye means. Did you know that? The apple of God's eye means eye contact close enough where God can see himself in you and you can see yourself in God. So this is what Christianity is all about. This is why Peter was almost drowning because he stopped looking at Jesus. And this is why so many of us fail in our Christian walk because we take our eyes off of Jesus, the one who gives us faith to endure to the end, amen? And so this is where we need to be all the time, locked eyes with Jesus. Give it up for my wife for coming up here. Love you. You guys can stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to turn to Revelation 3:20. This is what Jesus says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. He says, I will come into you, I will dine with you, and he with me. How many people want this kind of a relationship with Jesus this morning? I'm preaching this morning because I believe that if we become a people who know how to lift up our head, we will know where our help comes from. In the day of trouble, in the day where you feel discouraged and weighed down by life, you can look at him and cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. And so I want you guys just to put out your hands this morning like you're going to receive a gift. And I want you to close your eyes and I want you to look at Jesus. I want you to lift your head, even practically this morning. Don't bow your head. I want you to lift up your head. I want you to lift up your head. And I want you to hear the Lord knocking on the door of your heart this morning. Come on, he's here knocking. What part of your heart has it felt hard to let the Lord enter into? Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Come on and knock on the doors of our hearts. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your eyes to the hills. Where does your help come from? Your help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Lord, we refuse to be distracted by the things of this world. We refuse to be a people who set our eyes on earthly things when you've called us to set our eyes on you and the things of heaven. Would you give us a different perspective this morning? Would you shift our eyes? Would you shift our hearts? Come on, look at him, church. Look to Jesus this morning. Set your minds there. Set your hearts there. Let your heart get lifted today. Let your soul get lifted today. Do not let the sins of yesterday pull you down when you're created to be seated in a different realm. Do not let your lack or insufficient keep you from being there with Jesus this morning. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Jesus. We're all going to sing this. We're going to sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full. Look full. Sing this out. Turn your eyes. Sing, Turn Your Eyes one more time. Thank you, Jesus. word. The word for presence is the word face. So when we talk of the presence of God, we are actually talking about the face of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about some ethereal thing that you feel right now. We're talking about a person. Jesus is a person. His presence is his face. It's the light of his countenance. And I just feel in this room that God, before we go and eat and fellowship together, God is lifting anxieties off of people in this room right now. He's lifting heaviness. He's lifting depression. He's lifting, do you know the Bible calls it a spirit of heaviness? It says he gives us the garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. He says that Jesus had the oil of joy above all of his companions. We experienced joy this morning, but I believe that God is doing a fresh thing in our church where joy is coming back to weary hearts, amen? He's lifting our heads. He's lifting up the weary hearts. I want to pray. And if I can have our prayer team come on up as I pray. But Lord, I just thank you, Jesus, that all across this room, you are lifting weary hearts. You're lifting weary heads. Those in this room who feel downtrodden, those in this room who feel beaten down by the things of life where they can't seem to lift up their heads. They're so focused on the things of this earth. I thank you, Jesus, that we turn our eyes to you this morning and we find grace and mercy in our time of need. And Lord, right now, all over this room, I take authority over anxiety, over a spirit of heaviness, and I just say no more in Jesus' name. Every heart that's burdened, every heart that's weighed down, I thank you, Jesus, that you're teaching us to see things from your perspective. I want to remind you of Jamie Anderton. My brother was with her on a plane flying to South Africa, and he turns to her because she was the happiest girl ever. Jamie's crazy. She's always smiling. And he says, Jamie, why are you always so happy? Why are you always so excited? Why are you always bubbly like this? And she says, Jacob, it's because every time I feel worried, I look up. I lift up my head and I ask the Lord, are you worried about this? And every time the Lord with a smile says, not at all. Not at all. So let the worry fall off of you today. Let the sin that so easily entangles you fall off of you today. You are seated in heaven with Christ. He is your life. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Lord, give us your perspective. We love you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Man, so good. You guys feel good this morning? Good. Well, I want to invite you up. I know it's Social Sunday. I don't know where to lead people, but I want to invite you before we go and eat. If you need prayer, if you need prayer for healing in your body, if you want prayer for anything I talked about today, we would love to pray over you, prophesy over you, whatever you need, and just believe God with you. But I love you. I bless you. And I bless the food that we're about to eat. Are we eating chicken or something like that?
Yes.
Chicken? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we bless that food. And Lord, we thank you for fellowship. We thank you for community. And Lord, we thank you that the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen.